Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, get your Bibles out. I got a message for you this morning. All right, we're doing a transformation wrap-up party. And so at the end of service today, we've got something for you. It's just a little information card that's going to help you take this transformation series through the holidays. How many know the holidays can be stressful? You made it through one. You're doing good, and you're still here. You're doing good, right? Amen. I don't know about you, but I was with some family members, you know, that I'm not with a lot, and you know, I was just sitting with them, and you know, I'm not around. I mean, people usually watch what they say around me. You know, I mean, that's just part of the game, and I don't mind, but you know, but I have family members who don't. You know what I'm saying? But I was just listening to them talk, and I was like, man. It's like they're speaking a foreign language. I don't speak that language anymore. You know, I mean, it was like, oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, I can't do anything right. Oh, I'm dying a slow, painful death. And I'm just like, who talks like that? Right? But you know, the truth of the matter is a lot of people talk like that. But we don't talk like that because we know that, or you should say that. I don't talk like that. Because I know my words have power. They have power. And as I was sitting with the family member and they're talking and everything, I'm just sitting there thinking like, man, that's just, it's got so much death in it. That language has so much death in it. And you know what the thing is? God wants to transform you. He wants to transform your life. He wants to transform how you talk. He wants to transform how you think. Because when you transform how you think, you're going to transform how you talk. You transform how you talk, you're going to transform how you live.
Hello.
Amen? Because when all we're doing is speaking the problem and speaking those words over ourselves, I'm never going to be able to do it. I'm so stupid. I can't do anything right. I can barely even say those just to give you the illustration because it's just death in your mouth. It's just death. And you know, and I, of course, I couldn't say anything to my family member because this is the reaction I would get. Because I've already said it. I've said it 100 times. And you know, but that's when, if you got a family member like that, you just need to pray for them. Amen? Just pray for them. But here we go. We're going to go over and we're going to go through the whole transformation series in one service. Help us, Jesus. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. This is our... I think I had too much dessert over Thanksgiving. I'm still high from the sugar. You know what I made? I made eggnog fudge. I don't even like eggnog. And it was delicious. Was it good? Devon, he doesn't even eat sweets, and he liked it. It was good. All right, here we go. Let's stay focused. All right, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. We got it up here? It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? How many want some areas of your life transformed? And so we went through different areas of our life, and we got the Word of God in there. And once we have that Word, if we'll change the way we think, I need to change how I think about money. I need to change how I think about rest. I need to change how I think about my feelings. I need to change how I think about so many things. And when I do that, you know what's going to happen? Transformation's going to happen. And so the Bible says that we can be transformed. How many like the movie Transformers? Anybody like those movies? What happened? They're a car, and then they transform into talking robots. Right? That's pretty cool. And then we also know, for those of you who don't go to the movies because you're spiritual, praise the Lord, good for you. Then we have the caterpillar, and how many of them caterpillars are not attractive? But they transform into what? beautiful butterflies. So you may be looking at a part of your life and thinking, you know what? This is very unattractive. It doesn't have any life in it. It doesn't have any blessing on it. It's just not working. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your physical health. Maybe it's your joy level. Maybe it's your mental health. We talked a lot about mental health. Whatever it is, you can look at it. You can say, you know what? That's what it looks like today. But by renewing my mind with the power of the Word of God, it can be transformed, and it will look completely different in a short amount of time. Amen? Amen? You know, sometimes we're just like, you know, we talked about that terrible saying, it is what it is. No. You might look at something, and don't stop there. Don't let the enemy convince you that that's how it's always going to be. No, the Bible says that you have the power through the Word of God, through changing how you think, that God can transform something, and it can be completely different in a short amount of time. Does it take effort? Yes. Is it work? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. Amen? You know, when we plug in and push in for a short amount of time, it can change a life. Just a short amount of time. You know, when people are in marriage difficulties, you know, so often, you know, you think like, man, this is terrible. This is awful. This is, I don't want to live like that. But if you'll press in and do it God's way for that short amount of time, it will change your life for the rest of your lifetime. For your lifetime. We got to get into the Word. And so this scripture, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. I don't want to become like the world. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to do things the world's way. And you know what a pattern is? You put it on a piece of fabric and you cut around it. If you put the world on your life and you follow that pattern, you're not going to have the power of God in your life. We need the power of God in our life. And so the Bible says, don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I like the New Living Translation. It says, by changing the way you think. And when you change how you think, you change how you speak. And so the first area that we wanted to transform was really in the area of setting goals in our life. Amen? Setting some goals. You know, sometimes as faith people, we use our faith for everything but goals in our own life. And you know what? Your faith is made for the change you want to see in your life. That's what faith is for. It's for the obstacles. It's for the difficulties. It's for the mountains. Faith moves mountains. Amen? And you know what? A lot of times the mountain that needs to move is my own procrastination, my own shortcomings, my own difficulties. And when I set goals, and we encouraged everybody in the beginning of this series to set goals for your life. What do you want to see changed in your life? How many want to see something changed? And you say, well, you know what? I didn't do it. I didn't set any goals for my life when we started this series over 50 days ago. Guess what? It's not too late. You can set some right now. You can set a goal. I'm gonna read the Word every day. You know how I love the Bible app? I love the Bible app. I think it's one of the greatest tools invented on the for apps and internet and smartphones and all that kind of stuff. I think it's amazing, the Bible app. You can set a goal today. I'm going to read the Bible every single day. And then do it. And if you miss a day, what do? Start doing it the next day. Don't throw your phone away and say, oh, you know, I got to wait till next year. No. Isn't that what we do in January? We're like, I'm going to set some goals for this year. And then we screw up by January 7th. And we're like, well, guess I got to wait till next year. How many know that's not wisdom? That's not a smart way to do it. And so we looked over here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. This is Paul writing. And this is so good. And I don't know what translation you guys have up here. All right, keep going. You got the next, do you have the scripture? It's not his fault, it's my fault, because I sent it to him late. Lord help me. No, Lord help Macho, that he has to work with me. Here we go. It says not, this is Paul writing, it says not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my, say that word with me, my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And so what's he talking about? He's talking about a goal. And then, you got the rest? And then he says, brothers and sisters, who's that mean? He says he's writing this to the church. He's like, hey, church people, hey, Jesus followers, hey, disciples of Christ, you need to have goals in your life, amen? And he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What's he talking about? The goal. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward for what is ahead. Now that word forget, I make sure that I always tell people this. That word forget doesn't mean that all of a sudden that memory or that whatever it was is just removed from my mind. No, it means neglect. If you have had failure in the past, how many of us are like, I don't want to set goals because I failed so many times in the past? Right? We're always like, oh, I'm gonna do better with my money this year. I'm gonna tithe this year. I'm gonna give offerings this year. I'm gonna live on my budget this year. And here we are, we're in December, and maybe none of that happened. Well, we don't just say forget about it. Right? Paul says, you know, one thing I do, I forget, I neglect. Let go of that failure. Let go of that. And say, you know what? This time it's gonna be different. And then try again, keep pressing. Paul's telling us, he's saying, hey, don't give up and settle. Don't give up and settle. Keep striving. Keep pressing. Keep setting those goals. Jesus is going to help you. The Bible says that I am strengthened not by my might, but by his. Amen? The Bible says that God, that I have the mind of Christ. I may have failed 100 times before, but what if this is the time that I make it? What if this is the time that I finish that degree, I write that book, I step out and do what God tells me to do? What if this is the time it happens? The enemy loves it when we just give up on things that are on the inside of us. He loves it when we just settle for mediocre. He loves it when we start to follow the pattern of the world. He loves that because God has so much on the inside of each one of us. He's gifted us. He's made us talented. He's given us ability. We have the anointing of God. We have the power of God, and it's all for a purpose. It's for a purpose. Maybe there's relationships that you've totally failed at. Maybe you're a dad in here, and you haven't been present in your kid's life, and you heard me preach that there's nothing more important than a dad in a kid's life. And you're working has been too busy, or this has been too busy. You're like, man, this is the year I'm going to be more present with my kids. And you haven't been. Well, is it wisdom to just give up? Or is it wisdom to say, I'm gonna press on this time? I'm gonna press on this time. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, if we failed before, don't throw the goal out with the failure. Amen? Isn't that what he's saying? He's saying, don't throw the goal out with the failure. Keep pressing. Forget, you know, and if you hang around with people that are like, oh, here you go again. Oh, let's see if you make it. Oh, it's probably gonna be, get rid of those people. Yeah. Hey, man, or don't tell him your dreams. Yeah. You know, we learned from Joseph a very valuable lesson. There's certain people you shouldn't tell your dreams to. Come on. There's certain people, they don't need to know the inner workings of your life. They're a hi, hello, how you doing, good to see you, friend, and that's it. Amen. There's just some people that are like that. You got to know who you're going to tell your dreams to, who you're going to tell your goal to. And you know what? If you're not with people that are going to encourage you, then find someone who will. Amen. Find someone who will. I always tell this story. Thank God I didn't listen to this person. You know, when the first time I told somebody, I remember we were sitting at a restaurant. This is years ago. I had graduated from Bible college and back I was here. I was a volunteer and I told this, but they said, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years or what do you want to do? And I looked at him and I said, you know, I said, I'm going to be the associate pastor of Believers Victory Church. And they looked at me, and you know what they said? They said, how's that going to happen? True statement. I'll never forget that day. And I looked at them, and I thought, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know God said it's going to. And I was like, I thought to myself, don't tell this person anything else. I still loved them. I still cared about them. They're still in my life today. But you just have to know. You can't be moved by what people say. Because you know what? It did look impossible at that time. There were four very talented, very anointed, very men ahead of me. Very men. They were very men. They were very manly men. They were very manly men. And they wanted this job. It did look impossible. It did. Because I was David out in the field, you know? Nobody would have thought me, believe me, you know? It was like, Peggy, the bathroom needs to be clean. Peggy, we need coffee. Peggy, we need this, you know? That was me. And here I'm saying, well, I'm going to be the next associate pastor. They didn't even invite me to the meetings. I was at Sam's. They were in a meeting. I didn't even get to go to the meetings. And so I knew what the person was saying because it did seem that way. How's that going to happen? And listen, you might be here today, and there might be a dream on the inside of you. There may be something God's told you to do, and somebody may have said, how's that going to happen? How's that going to work out? Where are you going to get that money? You're going to do that? You've never even been to college. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever they say. Right? Whatever they say. God knows where you've been. God knows your limitations. God knows what he's doing. And when he puts something in you, you can't let the opinions and the feelings and the shortcomings of other people decide what you're going to do. You can't do that. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, I haven't gotten it all together. I haven't arrived, but I've got a goal. And I'm going to forget the failures behind me. I'm going to forget all that. And no matter what happens, I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep striving. I'm going to keep pushing. Because what would have happened in that meeting when I was having dinner with that person if I said, oh, you know what, you're right, because so-and-so is, you know, they're there and blah, 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 and they look the part. They seem the part. They seem like the obvious choice. Listen, the obvious choice is not always the obvious choice. Man, if we've learned anything from the Bible, we need to learn that. So when somebody looks at you and says, you know, they don't even have to say a word, just to look. When they do that, you need to remind them there's a whole bunch of people in the Bible that were not the obvious choice. But God used them anyway. Amen. There are people that had tremendous failures, tremendous shortcomings, tremendous sin in their life. But God turned the table. Amen. And so I encourage you, don't give up on that goal. Don't give up on what God's told you to do. Man, there's still stuff on the inside of me that God wants me to do, and there's still stuff on the inside of you. And let's rejoice, and let's be happy when people say they've got big goals. Let's not be the one that takes the wind out of the sail. Let's be the one that says, but God, all things are possible. Amen. Let's be that person. Man, I'd rather be a cheerleader for somebody than somebody who rains on everybody's parade. There's enough people like that. Make a decision you're not going to be that person. Amen? Don't be Joseph's brother. Right? Don't be Joseph's brother. Don't be that guy. You're just annoyed at the favor and the blessing that somebody has, so you try to bring somebody down. Man, that is ugliness. Don't be that person. And women, don't be that person. Women can be the worst ones about that. Man, don't be that person. Celebrate when other women are successful. Celebrate with them. Lift them when they need it, and celebrate with them when they need it. Amen? Let's be that person. Paul says, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me. Man, if somebody rained on your parade, if somebody told you you weren't the one, you need to neglect that. Quit feeding it. Get that thought out of your mind and say, no, if God called me, I can do it. Amen? Amen? It's going to take time. It's going to take work. You may have to go to school. You may have to do a lot of things. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Amen? And so I encourage you, don't let another 50 days go by before you write down a goal. Don't let another 50 days go by that you don't write down a goal, even if it's as simple as, I'm going to read the word 4 days a week. Maybe you're not at 7 days, but write it down. And press for it. Amen? Press for it. Write it down. You want to save money? Start saving $5 a week. Hey, it's better than nothing. Right? It's better than nothing. I remember one time we did I didn't do it, but people did a couch to 5K, right? They did a couch to 5K. And somebody said, it doesn't matter how slow you run, you're still lapping everybody on the couch. Isn't that good? So you may go slow as molasses towards your goal, but you're still lapping everybody on the sideline that's doing nothing. Amen? So if you're only saving $5 a month, $5 a week, whatever, you're still lapping everybody who's doing nothing. Amen? And so I encourage you, don't let another 50 days go by. Write down a goal and use your faith to achieve it. Speak to it. And use your faith. Speak to that mountain of procrastination, that mountain of whatever it is, and say, no, you got to go in Jesus' name. Amen? God's got things for us to do. All right, let's go. Number two thing that we talked about was getting close to God. Getting close to God. And we said this statement, the closer you get to God, the more your life is transformed. Whoo, isn't that good? The closer you get to God, the more your life is transformed. And we studied the story of the prodigal son, and we saw how when he got away from the father, he got into what's called prodigal living. He was partying and spending all of his money, and he got to the point where he's eating with pigs. And you know what? His life was different. But as soon as he came home, as soon as he came back to the father, he was restored. What happened? The father didn't. He wasn't standing at the door like this. No, the Bible says that he ran out to greet his son. He ran out to greet him. And as soon as he saw him, he immediately restored him back to the place where he needed to be. He immediately did it. So often when we've messed up and screwed up and we've been prodigal living, we don't want to come back to God because we think God's going to wag his finger. God is going to be angry. God is going to he's going to be like people. Because how are people when we screw up? They're cold and they're distant and they want to make you pay for it a little bit with their little snide comments, right? Anybody met anybody like that? Anybody been that person? We've all been that person too. That's how people are. That's not how God is. God restores. Amen. God immediately put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, gave him a robe. He immediately had a party for him. And so we've got to remember when things aren't going well, when I start to feel like I'm distant from the Lord, not that we go by feelings, but when I just don't feel connected, the thing to do, run back to Jesus. Get into his presence. And you know what is the number one tool? The number one tool for staying close to God is local church. Amen. It's local church. Listen, there are way better speakers. We've got the best preachers in the world. The best preachers in the world you can listen to 24/7. We have Stephen Furtick. We've got Joyce Meyer. We've got Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, all these guys. You can listen to them. It is not the same as being in a local church. It's not the same. Listen, going to the gym and listening to a message is not the same as sitting and submitting in one. It's not the same. Because when I'm listening to something, I can be doing 100 other things. It is not the same as sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's not the same. Not that I'm Jesus or any pastor is Jesus, but this is the method God said to use. God ordained the local church. God created the local church. God created two institutions. One is marriage and one is the local church. And both are under tremendous attack. Tremendous attack. You know why? Because life is in both of them. Life is in both of them. And so when we're thinking about this and we're thinking about getting close to God, one of the number one ways to do it is to stay connected and involved and participating in a local church. Amen. So number one way to stay close to God. And we learned in the last topic when it came to finances is to keep my heart here. Because where your treasure is where your heart is. If you feel like your heart is wandering, tell your heart where to go. You don't let your heart go where it wants to go. How many know that's going to get you in trouble? There's a lot of things. Man, if I let my heart go where it wants to go, if I let my want to go where it wants to go, I'd be a 2J's eating banana dream every day. Every day, I'd be at 2J's eating chicken, fried chicken fingers, french fries, a side of honey mustard sauce, and a banana dream every day. How many? I'd weigh 500 pounds or more, right? You can't let your want to go wherever it wants to. You got to tell your want to where to go. And the way that you do that, the way that we tell our heart where to go, where to stay, is we put our treasure there. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is. So if you feel like your heart's wandering, look and see where your treasure wandered off to. Is your treasure over in fashion? Is your treasure in purses? Is your treasure in a boat? Is your treasure at Universal Studios? Where's your treasure? You find your treasure, you'll find your heart. You want to tell your heart where to go? Put your treasure there. Amen? You find your heart wandering away from your spouse? This is a freebie. Start buying them presents. Start buying them some presents. Start doing what you used to. The Bible says to remember your first love. We got to remember our first love because you know what? Our want to gets distracted. Our heart wanders off. And so I tell you, this is a freebie for you husbands and wives in here. You want to get that first love feeling back? Start doing what you did when you first fell in love. And you don't feel like it. You know, I've been married 24 years, you know? It's like sometimes I don't feel like it, but I do it because I tell my want to what it wants. I don't let it tell me. I tell it. Amen? And the way that I do that is with my treasure. That's all free. Not even on my notes. All right. Here we go. The closer you get to God, the more your life is transformed. We see the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, 11 through 24. We know the story. We're not going to read it. But I just encourage you, if you've wandered, come home. Come home. Come home to God. I say this all the time. I've been saying it for years and never not be true. You can go 1,000 steps away from God. You can be smoking crack every single step. You can be partying, having sex, doing whatever you think is horrible. You can be doing that on every one of those 1,000 steps. But Jesus is still one step back. Amen. One step. All you got to do is say, Jesus, coming home. So that's it. And the Father is right there to restore, to heal, to love, to love. And those of us who've been in church, we haven't left in a long time, don't get an attitude when they come home like the older brother. Isn't that what the older brother did? The older brother was like, you never even killed a fatted calf for me and my friends, right? He said, you never even let me have a party. That's what he did. So don't get all annoyed when people come back. And give them the look. You know the look. Or ask them where they've been. It doesn't matter where they've been. What matters is they're here today.
That's right.
That's what matters. So don't get an attitude like the older brother. Remember that all that he gave to the son, to the prodigal son, belongs to you as well.
Right.
Amen? And so the closer we get to God, the more our life is transformed. You want your life to be transformed? Get close to God. The third thing we talked about in our transformation series is obeying God's laws of rest. Because so often, some of the things we're striving and we're doing, and what we really need to do is take a nap.
Hello.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, I love the story of Elisha. Elisha, Elijah, sometimes I mess those two up. But you guys know, after he was with the prophets at Mount Carmel, after he did that, after he made an open show, and remember that? He was like, pour more water on it, and they poured, and then, you know, and his altar caught fire, and it burned not just the sacrifice, but all the false prophets. How many know that's a big victory for the Lord? How many know that's a big show of the devil's defeat right there? But do you know, if you read this, and it's not in my notes, I'm just going to tell it to you. Do you know if you read that, that right after that, he was running for his life from a woman named Jezebel. Don't name your kid that, right? He was running for his life. And the first thing that God told him to do was sleep. He needed sleep. You cannot go through your life without proper rest.
Amen.
You can try all you want when you're younger. You can try, but you know what? You know how I love a good study. Study after study shows that if you are not well rested, your brain is not thinking right. And when you're tired, everything is amplified. Yes. Isn't that the truth? I mean, things that would never get on your nerves, but if you're tired, you're ready to rip somebody's face off. Right? Isn't that the truth? We need to obey God's rules of rest. And what the Bible tells us, it says in Proverbs 14:30, this is such a great verse. It says, peace of mind makes the body healthy. Peace of mind makes the body healthy. You've got to learn to rest. In Psalms 23, we talked a lot about this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What's the next line? He makes me lay down. Our body is made to rest. That's how our body's made. It's made to sleep. It's made to rest. You can't burn at both ends for too long. There are seasons where things are busy, but you can't have a life like that. The Bible has so much to say about our rest. And if we want to go from blessed to from stressed to blessed, we don't want to go blessed to stressed. We've already done that. If we want to go from stressed to blessed, one of the number one ways is really obeying God's laws, obeying his rules about rest. And we see a lot of those in Psalms 23. The Bible tells us to really pay attention to the beauty of the world. Look up once in a while from your phone. Look up and see things that are beautiful. Because when we do that, it has an effect on us. It calms us. It brings peace to us. God could have created the world any way he wanted it. And he created it with unbelievable beauty. Who's that for? It's for you. It's for me. What's it for? It's to add joy and peace to our life. We don't want to be running with our heads down and then think, man, I'm so stressed. Well, no wonder. No wonder. We need to look up, look to the Lord, look to him, get some rest, and look at beautiful things. Man, I tell you, you know, my house, I love my house. I don't live in the best neighborhood, but I don't want to move. You know, my husband's always like, oh, you know, we need to move. You know, the helicopter's over or whatever. He's like, we need to move. And I'm like, oh, but I just love my backyard. Because I live, you know, I live like in town, but it feels like I live out of town. And so I have now, because God just loves me. I'm like his favorite. I have peacocks in my yard. And they're amazing. I mean, I just sit and stare at them all the time because they're so beautiful. And I think, how blessed am I that I have this, I have a whole, I don't know what, a flock, I guess you call them. A whole flock of You know I'm an 80s kid, right? How many had that hair? I know I did. Like a seagull, right? All the young people are like, who, what? Never mind, it's called good music. All right, let's keep going. But you know, I have this whole flock of peacocks, and they're there like every day. I get to see them, and it's beautiful. And I tell you what, I can, you know, I deal with a lot of things just like you deal with a lot of things. And most of the things I deal with are other people's lives, things that are going on in other people's lives. But I really love people, and I care about them. And it's sometimes you can start to carry that burden, even though we're not supposed to. And, you know, that feeling like, oh, man, you feel stressed. But then when I go outside and I sit there and I watch those beautiful peacocks and I just watch them and the, you know, even the iguanas and all the other crazy things that are in my backyard, it just brings a peace to me. It brings a peace. I go from stressed to blessed. What happened? I'm resting and I'm looking at beautiful things. Whatever is beautiful to you, whether it's paintings or whether it's old cars or whatever it is, it's good for you to take the time to look at it. Take the time to take it in. Not just on TV, because it's not the same. Get outside and take it in. It's good for us. It's how God made us, and it will help us. The next thing that we talked about was really one of the biggest ones that I heard the most response about, and it was deal with how I feel. Emotional health. You know, that's a big, big thing right now is mental health. Emotional health is a big thing. There are so many people that are struggling with their mental health, and it is an attack of the enemy on people. And God has the answer. And I want to make it very clear. I said this when we preached this message. But because we're preaching the word doesn't mean that we're anti-medication that helps people. There are medications that will help you in times of depression, with anxiety, things like that. But here's the thing. Those things help you. And I believe God ordained them to help you. They are a bridge from where you are to where you want to be. And God uses them. And praise God for them. Thank God for anything that will help you. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't only take the help. Also go for the healing. Because Jesus is a healer. Amen? And so take the help. But don't think the help is a substitute for Jesus. It's just in addition to. Don't forget Jesus. Amen? Don't forget the word. Don't forget the power of renewing your mind. Don't just settle for the help. Go for the transformation. Amen? And again, sometimes people think, oh, you don't want me to take my medicine. No, no, no. That's not what we're saying. I believe medicine helps you. It helps you where you're at. But don't think medicine is a substitute for Jesus. It goes along with Jesus. Amen? And so we talked about dealing with how I feel, because my feelings many times will lead me and guide me in the wrong place. How many have ever had that happen? My feelings. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:30 says, wait, where am I at? Oh, I skipped one. I'm sorry, Macho. Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Just because something seems right to your feelings, just because something feels a certain way, doesn't mean it's right. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's true. Isn't that the truth? There's many times we have felt like nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, nobody is for me, everybody's against me. But you know what? That's not a true statement. Because even if every single person was, Jesus is still for you. Jesus still has a plan for your life. Jesus still gave his life for you. So just because you feel something doesn't mean it's true. Our feelings are indicators. It's like a dashboard on your car. It's an indicator. It's kind of like your engine light is coming on. It's to indicate things to me. It is not to lead me, direct me, and guide me. That's God's job. Amen? That's God's job. And so we talked a lot about dealing with how we feel. And it says there's a way that seems right to a man. Just because something seems right doesn't mean it is. And so our feelings, we need to really own our feelings. We need to look at them and say, you know what? That's a feeling. It's not what the Word of God says. It may not even be the truth. I'm going to find out what God says about it. And then here's the thing. You say, well, how do I change my feelings? How do I get my feelings to line up with the word? Feelings always follow decisions. Amen. Always. When we make a decision, you may not feel like it. Everything in you may be feeling like going a different direction. But when I make that decision, my feelings will follow. Don't let feelings be the boss of you. Because if you do, you're going to be up and down and all around. Let the Word of God lead you. Let the Spirit of God lead you. Let the peace of God lead you, not my feelings. Amen? Not my feelings. We got to deal with how we feel. And then I skipped this one. It's probably the most important one. The fourth one was that we talked about, I have to feed my mind the truth. You got to feed your mind the truth, because if you don't feed your mind the truth, you will be ruled by your feelings, and that's not going to go. Proverbs 4:23 says, this is such a powerful verse, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Man, isn't that good? Just let that sink in. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And it goes right back to Romans chapter 12. The Bible says that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That another translation says, by changing the way you think. And especially when we deal with with issues from our past, childhood trauma that has led to, you know, sometimes we can be so hard and harsh on people that have addiction issues. But the thing we have to understand is that a lot of people that have addiction issues, it is just a fruit of a childhood trauma root. Something, they've lived through something that you have no idea, and it was their way of dealing with it, and that's all they know. So let's not be so hard on people. Amen? Because what happens is they've been thinking, people think their whole life because they've been told this as a child. They've been through trauma. You're never going to amount to anything. You were a mistake. Nobody wants you, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's how they thought. And what happened? It shaped their life. It shaped their life. And so we got to be careful how we think because it's going to shape my life. How do I change how I think? I always say you only got so much room in this noggin, right? There's only so much room up here. The more the word of God we put in, it's going to push out wrong thinking. It's going to push it out. If you're here today and you say, man, I've been through a lot. I've got a lot of trauma that I've been through, a lot of things that I think about myself. I don't think highly of myself. I don't think I deserve anything. Whatever it is, you need to make a goal right now. I'm going to feed my brain the truth. I'm going to feed my brain the truth. And as you put that in there, that wrong thinking is going to go out because there's only so much room up here, right? Some more than others, right? So you got to push it out. We got to feed our brain the truth. Amen? Which brings me to number 6. This is such a good one. These are all transformation points. I got to remember every day the way God loves me. The way God loves me. See, sometimes when we just say, God loves me, we don't understand what that means. We've heard it so many times, but we haven't taken the time to understand what that means. And if you're not careful, you'll think God loves you like people do. How many are glad that's not true? God doesn't love you like people do. God loves you unconditionally. God loves me like this. Number one, I'm completely accepted. Completely. Don't ever let anybody tell you that God doesn't love you because. God doesn't love you because, and then something about you. I don't care what it is. God loves you, and he accepts you. He may not love what you're doing, but he loves you. He may not accept what you're doing, but he accepts you. Amen? And so I'm completely accepted. We get that from Titus 3:7. You guys have to look that one up. Next one is, I'm unconditionally loved. Unconditionally. God doesn't say, clean up and I'll love you. Straighten up and I'll love you. Walk right and I'll love you. No, he just says, I love you. Aren't you glad about that? It's unconditional. And here's a really great part about it. When I totally blow it, screw up, do exactly what God told me not to do, guess what? Still loves me. God will never love you more than he loves you right now. God will never love you less than he loves you right now. Amen. God loves you unconditionally. We got to remember how. We got to remember the way God loves me. He completely accepts me. I'm unconditionally loved, and I'm totally forgiven. Totally. When I repent, when I turn away from something and ask God to forgive me, you know what happens? He washes it from me. He removes it from me. There's no stain of it on me. There's no smell of it on me. It's not part of me. And that is the truth when we say, you are not what you have done. I may have stolen something, but I am not. God doesn't see me as a thief. God sees me as a child of God. I may have lied, but God doesn't see me. He doesn't call me a liar. He calls me forgiven. He calls me a child of God. I may have sinned, but he does not call me a sinner. He calls me a saint. Man, isn't that good? That's so good. We got to remember how God loves me. How God loves me. The way that he loves me. And then the next one, I'm considered extremely valuable. You're valuable. The value of an item is determined by the price someone will pay. Correct? We've heard crazy stories, you know, one of the craziest, a little bowl that they found from somewhere, sold for over $1 million. It looked like something somebody made out of Play-Doh. It was terrible looking. But you know what? Someone saw value in it. Someone saw over $1 million of value in that. And so that determined its value. Our value was determined by the price that was paid for us. Jesus Christ gave his life for you and I. There is nothing and no one more valuable than the actual Son of God himself. Isn't that the truth? I remember when I was at work one time years ago, and this is back when we had price guns. How many remember those? Back before everything was scanned, and I worked at Publix, you had to price stuff. And we were joking around, and somebody put a price tag on me. And I took it off, and I was like, they said, "Oh, are you worth more?" And I said, "That thing doesn't go as high as I'm worth. I'm worth the blood of Jesus." So, of course, you know, I was a Jesus freak. And, you know, I was like, "I'm worth the blood of Jesus." I said, "God himself gave his son for my life. That's my worth, and that gun doesn't have it." Right? And so, you know, I was always talking about Jesus. And so the thing was, is that I believe that. I know that's true. Somebody's going to try to put a price tag on you. And you need to rip it off and say, "Oh, that ain't enough. That is not enough. I am extremely valuable." And when you realize your value, you don't let people treat you like cheap stuff. Especially for ladies. When you realize how valuable you are, you don't let some man come into your life and treat you like you're secondhand, like you're not worth much, like you're doing him a favor to be with him. Man, when you know your value, you don't let that happen. So if you're letting that happen right now, you know what you need to do? Learn your value. And either somebody's going to start treating you like you're worth, or you're going to find someone who does. Amen? You're going to find somebody who does. Because you are valuable. And we determine how other people treat us. You train people how to treat you. You train them. People treating you bad, it's because you've let it go too long. Make a change today. I'm worth more than that. I'm worth more than that. Amen? That's a freebie. All right. And then the last thing we talked about was that Jesus talked a lot about money. And we talked about this. Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven and hell combined. We learned that 2/3 of the parables that Jesus spoke all had to do with money. And if Jesus talked that much about money, it must be important. Why did Jesus talk so much about money? Because money is an influencer, money matters, and money is a big thing in our life. A big thing in our life. And it wasn't a tithing message. It wasn't a giving message. It was just like, hey, let's think about money the way Jesus does. Let's transform how we think about money. And we told you 4 things what not to do with money and 4 things what to do with money. But I want to talk to you about the 4 things what not to do. Jesus told us, and this was all in Luke chapter 16 in the parable of the dishonest ruler is really what, shrewd, there you go, that's the word, shrewd ruler. And he said, number one, he said, don't waste it. Don't waste money. You know, I say all the time, I'd rather sow it than blow it. I don't want to blow money, I want to sow money. And so when you look at money as seeds, you're a whole lot more careful with it. When you look at money and remind yourself, it doesn't even belong to me, it belongs to God, you think twice about what you spend it on. And so Jesus taught us, he said, don't waste it. Second thing Jesus taught us in this parable, he said, don't love it or live for it. Don't love it and don't live for it. Because, you know, one of the most misunderstood scriptures in the Bible is when we say, money is the root of all evil. That's not true. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And Jesus taught us, he said, you cannot serve two masters. You can't love Jesus and love money. You can love Jesus and like money, but you can't have a love for it that is bigger than Jesus. And he says, don't love it and don't live for it. Because when you live for Jesus, you live for money, you're not living for Jesus. We've got to make a decision. I'm going to do everything Jesus tells me to do. That doesn't mean Jesus doesn't want you to have money. He doesn't want you to be wealthy. He doesn't want you to be blessed, because all through the Bible, we know that he does. But it does mean that he wants to be first in your life. Don't let money be first. Let God make Jesus first. So he says, don't love it or live for it. Third thing Jesus taught us was don't trust it for security. Don't trust money for security. Don't get your security from anything that can be taken from you. If your security is in your looks, they're going to fade. If your security is in your ability, you're going to get weaker as you get older. If your security is in other people, they may leave you. We need to get our security, our sense of self, our sense of who we are, our sense of stability needs to come from Jesus, because he's the one thing, the one. He's not a thing, but he's the one that cannot be taken from us. And so my security needs to come from him, because the Bible tells me in Proverbs, it says your money can be here today and fly away tomorrow. How many have had that happen? And then next thing that Jesus taught, he said, don't expect it to satisfy you. Don't expect money to satisfy you. They asked Howard Hughes, they said, how much money do you need to be happy? He was the richest man in the world at the time, and his response was, just a little more. If you looked for money to satisfy you, it never will. If money is what you're pouring into yourself, money and objects and things and success, you're living your life with what I call a hole in your bucket. No matter what's poured in, it's leaking out. You ever met somebody like that? No matter what they have, no matter who loves them, no matter what you do for them, no matter how you try to help them, it is never enough. They got a hole in their bucket. And only Jesus can plug that hole. And when you let him, that's when fullness comes. That's when fullness comes. And Paul talks so much about this. He said, I have learned to have a lot and to have a little and to be content in both. The way that we do that is with Jesus. Don't expect money to satisfy you. If it did, wealthy people would be the happiest people on the planet. And how many know they are not? Money's a good thing. People say money can't buy happiness. That is true. It does help a little though, right? Let's be honest. It does help a little, but it can't buy happiness, because if all you're doing is adding and adding without Jesus, it's never going to reach a full. But when you're already full with Jesus and you add something, then you get true joy. Amen? Because your joy comes from Jesus, and everything else is just it's just a blessing. And we can live with it, and we can live without it. So Jesus said, don't waste it. Let's not be wasteful. Let's be good stewards. Don't love it or live for it. I'm to love Jesus and live for him. Don't trust it for security, because you know what? It can be here today, gone tomorrow. We've learned that in our lifetimes. They say that the next generation, Generation Y, I think it is, they're like kids, they're like people from the 50s. Because one of their number one desires, these are kids who are, 16 and under, I believe it is, their number one need, the number one thing they want is financial security. Financial security. You know why that is? Because they've never had it. They've seen the stock market. They've seen people lose their jobs. They've lived through a depression. They've watched their parents stress over money. And the number one thing that they want, this is the first generation, millennials, things like that, the first one in decades, that's their number one need. Money is important. We might as well do it God's way. Amen? And we're not going to get security from money. We're going to get it from Jesus. And so I encourage you today, grab a hold of this. This isn't just a series for a few weeks. This is a series for a lifetime. We need transformation in areas of our life. Marriages need to be transformed. Relationships with your children need to be transformed. How you're raising your children needs to be transformed. You're raising them according to the pattern of the world, and you got to change that pattern. You got to change it. We're spending our money the way the world does. We got to change that. We're letting our feelings lead our lives. We got to change that. How's it going to change? We got to change how we think. Let's get the word in so it changes what we're saying. When we change what we're saying, we're going to change how we're living. Amen? And so when you leave today, because today's a wrap-up party, you can't have a party. Hopefully everybody's still on zero, not watching your calories because it's Thanksgiving, right? So hopefully Monday's coming. But we've got donuts and muffins for everybody. So when you leave, we got donuts and muffins outside. And we also got a little card that has each one of the points. So you can say, you know what, I need to set some goals in these areas. I want to set some goals for my money. I want to set some goals for how I'm living. I want to set goals, amen? Because I want transformation. And that's God's will for your life. Let's pray together. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that something may look ugly and caterpillarish. It's a new word. Something may look like a caterpillar in our life. Maybe our marriage is in caterpillar stage. Maybe our finances, our emotions, our mental health. Maybe it's in caterpillar stage. And we're looking at it, we're saying, man, that's not what I was looking forward to. That's not how I thought this was going to be. But Lord, I thank you that the power of transformation is in your word. That as we renew our minds, as we change the way we think, to the way you think. When we start thinking in line with the Word of God, we will see transformation in all these areas of our life. And so, Lord, I thank you that you encourage everyone here. For those who are far from you and need to get close to you, that they'll be like the prodigal and come to themselves and come home. For those who are following the patterns of the world, in areas of their life, in relationships, in how they work, how they honor their word. That, Lord, that you would help each one of us see and recognize areas of our life where we are conforming to the pattern of the world. That we would see it. And that you would give us the wisdom and the strength to transform that area. By the renewing of our mind according to your word. Lord, that is my prayer. I declare today that lives will be transformed by renewing our minds. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I love this series. I think it was a great series because it's practical and it's applicable. But you can hear a great message every day of the week. If you don't do it, it's not going to do you any good. Right? I can have every diet book there is at my house, but if I don't do it, not going to do me any good. You can watch exercise videos, but if you're sitting on the couch, not going to do you any good, right? Not going to do it. You're just getting entertained. Listen, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to preach the word. And so let's grab a hold of the word and let's make some decisions. I'm not going to settle for this mediocre in my life. I'm not going to settle for looking just like the world. I'm going to transform. I'm going to let God transform my life by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to make a decision to change how I think. My mom may have thought away. My grandmother may have thought away, but I'm going to think different. I'm going to think different. I'm going to think according to the word. That's how change happens. Amen?